We're going to continue our series and wrap up our series today called Relationship Rehab, and I hope this has been a blessing for you. Pastor Anthony 2 weeks ago and Pastor Travis last week did a great job, didn't they? Did a phenomenal job, both of them. I thank God for them and just their God-given ability to speak God's word, especially in relationships with forgiveness and singleness. Today, I'm talking about something I think that's been on our minds for quite some time that we need to talk more about, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Actually, it's not them. I've never talked about this before. I'm kind of excited about it, and I hope you'll go with me on this journey. I want to talk about dating. I want to talk about dating. And this is huge. This is massive. And I think because I finally figured out how to do this right, I'm standing before you now. And if I didn't, I would not be standing before you now. I can tell you that. You know, people think dating is kind of like some pickup lines, and that's basically it. In fact, if you're watching online, give us your best clean pickup lines. Clean pickup lines, okay? But I want to give you some of my pickup lines I thought were pretty good. They work every time. All right, you ready? Go ahead and take notes. Here you go. Hey, is your name Google? Because you have everything I've been searching for. All right, girl. Oh, just wait. It gets worse. All right. If I could rearrange the alphabet, I would put you and I together. Are you a parking ticket? Are you a parking ticket because you got fine written all over you? Good thing I've got my library card, because I'm totally checking you out. And last but not least, my favorite, here you go. You know what kind of material this is, this shirt? You know what kind of shirt material this is? This is boyfriend material. That's what that is right there, baby. All right. So go ahead and try those. Some of you are going to use them, but I want you to know they probably don't actually work in the real world, okay? If it was only that easy. But dating can be so difficult. It can be confusing. It can be awkward. And we start getting desperate, and we start looking at any source of influence that we can get in the dating game. And one guy told me recently, he said, I think the girl I asked out is homeless. I was like, what do you mean she's homeless? She said that she said she would text me when she got home. That's funny. It's funny. 10 o'clock. Come on. So it's not easy. It's like you're pushing your tray along the line in cafeteria. Nothing looks good, but I got to pick something by the time I get to the end of the line. And that's the problem we kind of face up against. And today we're going to have some straight talk, biblical talk about dating. And obviously, high school students are probably interested in this, and college age. But I would say this, also 40s, 50s people in their 60s. I see a lot of people dating across those years as well. And let me be clear about a couple things up front. Not everyone who is single is actually interested in dating. Half of those that are single are saying that they're not looking for a partner. And I just want to say that can be a noble and that can be a godly thing, and praise God for that. Jesus was single. I don't know if you know that, but Jesus was here. He'd be in the singles ministry, and he'd be content with that. Now, the other half of people in America that are single are actually looking for a partner. 60 million people in our country right now. Half of 18 to 30-year-olds are using a dating site. Now, get this. About half Americans say dating is harder now than it's ever been. It's gotten more complicated. 70% of people who are dating are unsatisfied and saying their dating life is not going well. Not only do they struggle with who to date, but they struggle how to date. Like when they find someone, how to date. Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, I appreciate you're talking about this, Nathan, but it's kind of too late for me. I'm married, or I'm kind of too old for the dating game now. And I just want you to hear me for a moment. This is huge because I think this message is for every single one of us. In fact, I would tell you right now, go ahead and share this link with someone. Go ahead and share riverchristian.church/online with someone you know is dating. And so you could be someone who passes on this information. Or later this week, you can go to riverchristian.church/messages and pass it on that way. But let me tell you why this is important for even people who aren't interested in dating. Because the biblical principles we're going to talk about apply to not only dating, but also long-term friendships. And second, even if you're not dating, people who you care about, guess what, are. There are dating, and so many of us want more resources on how to pass on good biblical truth to them today. So I hope you take notes so you can give them encouragement, give them God's guidance in how to date to the glory of God. Because the truth is, many of us have tried to figure out this dating thing on our own, and it has left carnage. And examples of this are all around us in the world today to see. Proverbs says this: get wisdom, develop good judgment. And when it comes to dating, we need a wisdom. When it comes to common sense truth that actually works, don't forget my words or turn away from them, is what wisdom is saying. Here's what happens in dating. We get so infatuated with someone. Oh, she looks so good in that outfit, and he looks good with that hair or lack thereof, is, you know, whatever it is. And next thing you know, we're so in love, and we think, you know, we turn away from godly wisdom because we're so enamored by someone, because I don't want to lose them, and then we later regret it. Look what Scripture says. Don't turn your back on wisdom. Why? For she will, read it with me, she will what? Protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop what? Good judgment. So to healthy relationships, we're going to seek God's wisdom when it comes to dating. Now, here's how this pays off in a couple ways. Number one is this: you're not looking for the person you're dating to give you meaning and purpose. Why? Because you have that in Jesus Christ. Amen? I have my meaning and purpose in Jesus, not in a person. And number two, if your life is all about direction and purpose in Jesus, then it makes no sense to date in a way that's aimless. And so today I want to throw out two contrasting ideas. One is aimless dating, and the other is intentional dating. And I'm kind of giving you some of my own experiences, because I've done both. Most people practice aimless dating, recreational dating. It's all about having fun the moment. It's not really aimed towards going anywhere. There's no real purpose. Someone said that if you aim at nothing, you'll usually hit it. And that's true with our dating life, versus being more intentional with our dating and keeping God's purpose in view in our dating. In fact, it's just as fun, I would say it's even more fun than aimless dating. Why? Because you preserve your purpose and your purity. Your life is going somewhere, and your dating is a part of that. It's on mission. One author put it this way: it's driven by a clear goal to learn about and prepare for the covenant of marriage. And sometimes you get in a relationship and you discover, man, I've invested, and I found myself saying this way too much. I've invested way too much of my time, way too much of my energy into this relationship, and now my heart has gotten harder, and my outlook is becoming more negative. And if it wasn't for dear friends of mine who called me out of relationships that were destructive, I don't know where I'd be at today. I noticed my self-esteem was getting beat down. I found myself further and further and further away from God. And if you open your heart to the wrong person, it can dampen your dream. It can discourage God's purpose in your life. And even after that relationship is over, and I see this all the time, you find that passion for God is still dampened. And you lost time. And you lost vision, and you lost some hope. All because you wrongly aligned in a relationship in a kind of aimless dating game. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians about the importance of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we have purpose. But if we don't have the resurrection, if we don't believe in the resurrection, he says, be aimless. Be aimless. In fact, you put it this way: let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we what? Tomorrow we die. And that's how a lot of people are living their life, especially their dating life. They don't care about what happens. They don't worry about tomorrow. Just enjoy what you can in the moment. But the next verse, Paul calls us back because of the resurrection. He says, don't be misled. This kind of living can impact you in a negative way, he's saying. Bad company corrupts what? Good character. You give your heart to the wrong person, I'm telling you right now, it can really sour your soul. And I speak from experience in that. Don't be misled, he says. Wake up. Come back to your senses as you walk. Stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. We're all seen hundreds of times, right? A bad girl, you know, meets good dude, or bad dude gets with good girl. And next thing you know it, they start doing things you never dreamed they would do, being a different person, not fulfilling God's purpose in their life any longer. Family, aimless dating doesn't work. It's a vague hope that maybe somehow this magically will turn, you know, into something really solid, but that approach hardly ever delivers. You can't take all the risk out of dating, I get that, but you certainly don't have to waste your relational life with no aim to it. I believe that dating should not be, listen, I believe that dating should not be thought of as a permanent phase of life. And I know people like this. It's like when you get to the airport, especially Atlanta Airport, if you've ever been to Atlanta Airport, and you take one of those trams, one of those shuttles, right? And you take a shuttle from Terminal A, and you're getting off at Terminal C. No one rides a tram or a shuttle at the airport all day long. Only person I know that's ever done that was my best friend, worked at Atlanta Airport, and I would go hang out with him, and we would ride the tram sometimes, just ride it, just do nothing but ride the tram, because we were losers, that's why. Nobody actually rides the tram all day long at the Atlanta Airport, all right? They don't have any seat belts in those things. You're supposed to hang out in there till it's time for you to get off and get going. That's how dating is supposed to work. Along the way, you may realize that this is heading toward a covenant of marriage, or maybe you realize this is heading nowhere, and it's time to get off at Terminal B. Not Terminal C, but Terminal B. Just riding around all day long, all night, is not the point of the tram. It's not the point of, guess what, dating. I know some people are scared. I don't want to get off the tram. I can't break up. This is my favorite one because I thought this. What if I can't find anybody else? Well, if the person you're riding the tram with is not the right person, you'll never meet, guess what? The right person. The point is that dating doesn't work if you treat it like the destination. It's meant to be the tram, the transportation to get you someplace where, listen, where God and you want to go together. So the Bible doesn't lay out a plan of dating, but I want to give you a verse that was kind of my anchor verse when I finally shifted from aimless dating to intentional dating. And it's in 1 Corinthians 10. Here's that verse. It's kind of a banner over this whole dating thing. And here's what the verse says. Paul says, so whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do like dating, do it all for the what? Read it with me. Do it all for the what? The glory of God. Now think about that. That's radical. Dating to the glory of God. It's a different from the aimless dating we see all around us. It's a way of saying that I'm going to please God with my dating life. What does it look like to date to the glory of God? Number one, I'm going to bring dating under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what that looks like. I want to bring dating under the lordship of Jesus. Number two, it means you're going to be more selective in who you date. Number three, it means you're going to evaluate how the relationship is going. If it's time to get off at Terminal B, if the relationship's going off the rails and not honoring God, it's time for me to take adios and get out of here. Number four, I'm not going to be in a hurry to commit my mind, commit my heart, commit my body to another person because I've got boundaries. One of the best verses on boundaries I think of is Proverbs chapter 4, when Solomon says, above all else, do what? Guard your heart. I've got a gate. Someone's not going to just walk in my heart and take it that easy. For why? Why is it so important to guard my heart, especially in dating? Because it determines the what? The course of your life. And I'm that's not just, you know, fluff talk. That's real stuff. I'm not standing before you right now if I didn't shift from aimless to intentional dating. It determined the course of my life. So you have to ask yourself a couple of questions when you get on this intentional path. Number one is this, is who we're dating bringing glory to God? The best way for this to happen is both of us are following God. It's not about, listen, it's not about what they say about their faith. I date a lot of girls who, you know, they're Christian, I guess, but it was, you know, it was like one thing happened and what was said was something else. And you know, how they really lived their life. What did they do? What did they post? How did they talk to people? What's their actions reveal about their love for God? I've heard someone say, well, I dated someone and they weren't a believer, so I took them on as a project. And it all ended great. We're both Christians now. Well, the truth is, more often than not, the other way is what happens. I mean, it's not even debatable. Most of the times, that's not what happens. So when someone says, I love this guy, he's not a believer, he's so sweet, he's got lots of potential, I'll tell you what I think and what I'll say if they want to hear from me. I said, let him go. Let her go. I'm not saying date someone unless they're a paragon of virtue or they're a super saint, but if they are not following Jesus, growing and showing evidence of that, then let them go. And listen, you're going to be okay. You really are. You're going to be okay. It's like what you're trying to do is like make a cake with the wrong ingredients, and what's going to end up happening is you'll end up making Play-Doh instead of cake. The second question I would ask is this, is how we're dating bring glory to God? Is how we're dating? Is this relationship making me more negative? Is this relationship making me more insecure? That's a red flag. If the relationship is all about just the two of us and no one else can get in our life and we just kind of shove everybody else, that's a red flag. If the relationship is about getting the backseat of a car and steaming up the windows, or if someone read our text between each other and it would compromise our witness for Christ, that's a red flag. Is relationship really bringing glory to God? Here's what Paul says about this. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can a righteous person be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And don't get with the wrong person. Don't get with the wrong person and have such low standards. I'll never forget, my uncle would tell me, what you need to do, I'm 10 years old, he told me this. What you need to do is you need to find someone who's fine and has lots of dimes. I remember being 10 years old going, I think there's something missing. I don't know. Maybe the whole spiritual component's missing. You know, he was just being funny. But spirituality is so important, because if you're going in different directions, it'd be a business partnership or whether it's dating relationship, you're going to have competing priorities, right? The term don't be unequally yoked is the idea of a smart farmer. He would get two oxen or two mules that had the same power. They basically built the same way. And that way, they would go and have relational harmony, because if one was more powerful than the other, it would lead to them destroying the field and making circles. And he's looking for relational harmony is what Paul's saying. Spiritually, you won't be yoked with someone who believes what you do. Listen to this part, about the place of God in your life. You want to find someone who believes what you believe about the place of God in your life. And when it comes to decisions you have to make about money and about kids and about conflict resolution, it's not easy, but it makes it easier if you're reading from the same playbook. And if you don't have a shared partnership with God, it's almost like war, because you're pulling in different directions. Now, I want to give a quiz out to those who are, you know, older, all right, in the room, and see if you can remember this song. It's from 1962, and it goes something like this, all right? I'm going to try my best, see if we can do this. Down, doobie-doo, down, down, comma, comma, down, doobie-doo, down, down. Does anybody remember the name of the song? Breaking up is hard to do. Somebody's really spiritual right here, all right? Really, really spiritual person. Breaking up is hard to do, but listen, oftentimes it's the best thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the liberating thing to do to get you back on track to pursue the Lord. I never forget, I saw a kid, I was a student pastor one time, and this kid comes walking in with his brand new girlfriend. And I pulled him over to the side and said, hey, you know this only ends in three ways. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, either you get married, or one of you dies, or you break up. And no one likes to think about breaking up. It's unpleasant, but oftentimes it's better than the alternative. So many people have wasted so much of their life and time, I know I have, which caused more hurt and drifting and aimlessness in their life, and they weren't aware of the biblical concept called Necessary Endings, which, by the way, is a great book with that title, which I highly recommend. Sometimes it's time to move on, and someone needs to hear this today. In fact, I want to bring in a breakup specialist right now, and her name is Rachel Freeman. Everybody give it up for Rachel. She has...
Hello again.
All right. So besides, I want to talk to Rachel because she's got like a lot of experience in breaking up with people here. tried to do it with me, but I overcame. Rachel, you were involved with a loser before we met. Some big dork.
That's true.
And tell us a little bit about that relationship and what was the dynamic of that relationship.
Okay. Well, the loser was somebody I met in high school. He really wasn't a loser, but we met in high school. We attended the same church. We actually met in the youth group. So according to Travis, it was a sign of a healthy youth group. I was just trying to do my part. And it was a relationship that spanned over about 4 to 5 years into college, and it was a very on and off. I know some of you can relate, very, very on and off, but, it was your typical unhealthy relationship, the kind that you just are so hyper-focused on each other that you neglect all other friendships, you neglect activities, you just, all you can do is think about each other. He really basically dominated my life. And probably not in a good way. At the time, I was walking with the Lord, and I think, you know, he attended church, and he would say he's a Christian, but I don't think he was really walking with the Lord. So that definitely affected our relationship. We had very different life goals. Our spiritual goals were completely different, but, you know, as Nathan mentioned earlier, just young love, you get so attached, you don't know how to let go. So it was very hard to let go.
So what kind of led to the ending of that relationship? So obviously not us, because before we met. So what led to that relationship lead to a breakup eventually?
Yeah, so the beginning of the end of that relationship really started with a question. And that question had to have come from the Holy Spirit, because I did not have the maturity or the wisdom to come up with this on my own. I truly feel like it was from the Lord. We were having a conversation one night, and I just kept feeling this prompting from the Lord, and he just kept telling me to ask this question. And so I did. I just, you know, threw out this question. I said, can you say that you love the Lord more than you love me? And there was a real long silence. He struggled with that question. He could not answer it honestly and say yes. I think God was very kind of far off to him, and I'm right here in front of his face. So it was just a really hard, it was a thing he wrestled with. But that just really opened my eyes, and I think it was when the Lord just really started to tell me, I have other plans for you. I have completely different plans for you, and it's not this person. And I didn't do it perfectly. I didn't end it perfectly. It took time, but... I truly just let God lead in that, and I really feel like he led me through that, and I just listened to his prompting, and that's what I would encourage everybody else to do.
So there's people in this room or even online who maybe in a similar situation. I mean, maybe they didn't know, hey, it's time for a necessary ending. If I'm being honest, I feel like that's where God's leading me. I don't want to think about it, but that's where God's prompting me right now. What would you say to someone that's going through that right now?
I don't see myself as a relationship advice person, but I do want to say I think everybody's story is different. I know that God can work in every circumstance and every dating situation. I know a lot of you have personal testimony, you know, where you met someone, they're not a believer, and you guys ended up getting married, and God has worked through that, and so praise God for that. But there are three things that I've just thought of and want to share with you that I feel like can help that relationship and can help you decide, you know, is this the right thing for me or not? Number one, I would just say pursue the Lord more than that person. Pursue the Lord and his plans and his purposes for you more than the person that you're dating. And this carries into marriage, right? I mean, this carries into other relationships, but pray. Number two, I would say pray. Pray hard. Pray all the time. Pray for God's leading. Pray for God's guidance. And really ask the Lord to lead your relationship. And then number three, I'd just say be clear about your goals. Be clear about your spiritual walk and your intentions with whoever you're dating right up front. And a lot of times that immediately either draws you closer or creates a distance. And I think God allows you to see this has either helped our relationship or it's really kind of made me pull back. So again, I think these things are things you do continually, even in marriage. You know, I should still be pursuing God more than I'm focused on all the things that Nathan does wrong. There's just a few. There's only a few.
That hurts. But, true.
But it carries on. I should still be pursuing God way more than I'm thinking about, you know, anything that, any of his weaknesses. So, and I should still be praying for our relationship. I should still be praying for God's leading, for him to walk with us. And, you know, we should still be having a conversation about what are our spiritual goals? Where do we want to be with the Lord in the next few years? So that's what I would say.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Breakup specialist. She's going to write a book on that one day, I guarantee you. All right. Some of you may realize, though, that relationship you're in is not honoring God and may be abusive, or maybe you don't like them, or maybe they're not pursuing the Lord in their life, and it may be time for a necessary ending. And some of the problems we face are a result of the people we embrace, right? When God wants to bless us, what's he do? He brings people in our life to bless us. When Satan wants to distract us, what's he do? He brings people in our life to distract us. It's our job to discern the difference. Is this relationship leading me towards God? If it is, stay on it. But if it's not, get off at Terminal B, because you need a necessary ending. I know some are leery of doing that, but let me just kind of put this passage before you. Here's what Scripture says. Trust in the Lord, not in who you're dating. Trust in the Lord with what? Read it with me. All your heart. And do not depend on your own what? Understanding. Seek his will in what? All you do, even your dating, and he will show you which path to what? To take. And so if it's time for a necessary ending, here's three quick steps. Number one, end it quickly. Do it now. I get it. It's hard. But you need to do that. Number two, end it kindly. Don't badmouth them. Be respectful. And number three, end it cleanly. Don't give hope that something can happen again down the future. And like, we're just going to take a break. Remember this, the Lord is with you. Yes, breaking up is hard to do, but often it's better than the alternative. Maybe this relationship has kept you from trusting God, so now you know it's time to trust him with this. Your main goal in life is to pursue Jesus and to run with Jesus. That's the main goal. Your main goal is not running around and looking for a partner. And as you're doing that, what's going to happen eventually, most likely for many of us, is we're running and pursuing Jesus. Just like what happened for Rachel happened for me. All of a sudden you look over and you see someone else pursuing Jesus just like you. And then you have a choice to make. You go to them and can say, hey, you want to run together? And if you want to do that, you can use one of my pickup lines, all right? But a better way of doing it is a couple of steps here. Three quick ideas. Number one, pray about it and pursue Jesus. You heard Rachel. What I'm getting at is remember to surrender this part of your life to Jesus. You don't compartmentalize your dating life over here and the rest of your life over there with Jesus. Say to Jesus, I'm giving you my dating life, all of it, your wisdom, your judgment. And I tell you this, if you don't follow Jesus in your dating, it's going to be harder to follow him in your marriage. Number two, be chill and build a friendship. Go slow, relax, give it time. I kind of think of things in football seasons, like, you know, just be friends for a football season. I mean, before you start going in and with a hot and heavy, you know, hey, we're girlfriend, boyfriend, we're, you know, no, let's just be friends, share fears, set boundaries. What kind of hugging, what kind of kissing, touching? Many people like the swimsuit, one-piece swimsuit rule. You ever heard of that, one-piece swimsuit rule? It goes something like this. If a swimsuit covers it, we're not touching it. You got to be clear about these things so you spend your energy in getting to know one another. And number three, look for character and compatibility around the things of God. That's massive. Because at the end of the day, that's all that's going to be there. Yes, my wife is in the hot hubba hubba category. Absolutely. But I tell you what really draws me to her each and every day is how she serves Jesus behind the scenes. How she is with people that no one else would notice and no one else would know about. I get to watch, get a front line of watching her passion for Jesus and how she loves on other people. I get to watch her, how she parents our kids in the name of Jesus Christ. Our kids love Jesus so much because their mom is telling about Jesus each and every day. And yeah, her physical beauty is awesome, but those things are her character and her relationship with Jesus means so much more to me. Actually, attracts me more than anything else. Get past the physical. Oh, I'm so enamored by them, and get to the soul, get to the heart, get to the character of someone. And now we've got to evaluate relationship. I want to tell you, give you some tools on how to evaluate this relationship because I meet people all the time. And they kind of operate like this, like, oh, we're so in love and we're never going to fight with each other and we're perfect for each other and we're just going to, you know, we're just going to be infatuation. She looks good in leggings and he looks good in denim and, you know, we're just going to hug each other and have puppies and there'll be sunshine for the rest of our lives together. And my response is, will you just get real? Ask some hard questions. I mean, what you're doing is like dealing with dynamite. And man, ask some hard questions. Number one is this. Do they know how to commit? Does a person I'm interested in know how to commit? Do they know how to commit to the Lord? Are they jumping around churches left and right? When they experience challenge and difficulty, do they quit and do they leave? Do they work hard? Are they slackers? Are they cutting corners? Because I'm telling you, those traits will not serve you well in marriage. And these are things I got to watch Rachel. I watched her for a while before I even started dating her. I was watching, does she know how to commit? And can she face adversity? Because being married to me is not going to be easy, all right? Number two, what kind of friends do they have? What's she like with her friends? What's he like with her friends? Are they leave a wake of friendships in the past and they just kind of make new friends all the time because they can't keep anybody around because they're high maintenance? I mean, are they open and honest with anyone? Are they loners? Here's number three, what kind of temperament do they have? Are they really moody? Are they super insecure? I mean, I get we're all insecure to some degree, but you know what I'm talking about. There's certain people so insecure. They got a lot of work that needs to be done there. They need to find their identity in Christ so they can be a better partner and, listen, a great parent. Look at them when they're upset. What do? Do they flip out? You're probably going to totally think I'm making this up. But when I started dating intentionally, one of the first things I would do on a first date was I would try to get in a fight with them. And the reason why is because I want to know what you do when things don't go your way. I want to know, do you try to control? Do you flip out? When someone cuts them off in traffic, what happens? Number four, what's their family situation like? How do they treat their parents? How do they treat their siblings? Do they do their part in making those relationships work? And number five, what's the reputation with the others from this person? What's the reputation? What do your true friends say about this relationship? Like, not friends who want to flatter you, but friends who love you enough to be honest with you. Because your true friends are not going to be smitten by them like you are. Here's what I would say. Godly dating is a process of getting to know someone until you're no longer wearing rose-colored glasses. And if you do intentional dating, it'll lead you to either getting off at Terminal B, right? Because you realize this is not going anywhere. It'll lead you closer to God. Or it'll lead you to a covenantal love, an active commitment. Even because you spend some time with them, you see a little crazy in them now. But because of my commitment to Jesus, I will always be with you. I'm not going anywhere, ever. And the great thing is that they're in Christ, they'll say the same thing. I want to end by doing a prayer over us. if you're single and content, or you're single and looking, or maybe you're married, we're all in the same category, because the first number one relationship we have is with God. Amen. And we need to hear from him today. Just talk over us, no matter what our situation is. Will you stand with me? Please stand. I need your help. We're going to read these scriptures together from Isaiah. First one's from Isaiah 26:3. Here's what God's word says over us. Will you read it with me? You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Then here's what God says to over all of us from Isaiah chapter 41. Read it with me. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, right now, I pray over every person in this room who's single, and I pray that no matter what, they know their identity does not come from whether they're dating or not, but their identity comes from you. Their identity comes from your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for us as married people, we understand the same thing, Lord, that our first devotion is to you, and that can make us a better husband and a better wife. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that's struggling right now in a relationship, knowing that it's not really honoring you. And Lord, I pray that they will trust in you first, and Lord, they will honor you by making that commitment right now to leave that relationship. Lord, I praise you for those relationships that are flourishing because it's all about Jesus. Lord, I pray a protection and blessing over all those who are dating right now. Lord, I pray a contentment to come over those who are single, realizing that they have everything they could ever need in this life from you. Lord, thank you for being our all in all. Through Jesus we pray, and the whole church said, amen. Can we give God the praise for his love for us? And he gives us everything we need. So if it could be a blessing to you, our prayer team's up here. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe we can give your life to Jesus Christ and be baptized, whatever it is. Won't you come right now as we sing about the awesome and great God that we all have. Amen. Let's give him glory.